Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, May 23rd, whatever that means. I'm joined once again. Tori's still out in Ireland enjoying herself at a wedding she went to. And I don't know, for once, I wouldn't mind being in Ireland right now. It's so friggin' hot here. But at any rate, but the voices you're hearing in the background, I'm joined once again by guest co-host, Kate Brand.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kay. And when Kay comes in, there's always a lot of intellectual stuff going on here, although she is involved in sex quite a bit. But I guess it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, right? You can be smart and you can be in sex at the same time.
And you can be smart, you can be in sex, and you can be insane at the same time. That's what that is.
Okay, so Kat. Okay, you can see where my mind is this
Karina.
Morning. I've been Kay. Kay it is.
Let's just go to the bar.
Okay. We also have a guest. We're joined by Karina. Welcome to the show, Karina. You're going to have to get close to the mic.
Okay.
Thank you. Welcome to the show. I know you were excited to join us and everything, and I'll tell people who you are in just a second. But this is your first time on radio, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. So you be careful because we could be biting here.
Yeah.
So you never know.
I can be ruthless.
Yeah, right?
The last guest that I dealt with, you know, got a piece of that, right?
That's true. Last show we had this evangelist calling in and with
Dino.
With his views of the world, and we didn't all seem to agree here. So, but we did agree, though, that the worst thing was he was in a very noisy place. And it's like, how can you conduct an interview like this, you know?
Yeah.
Bullshit all the way around.
I'm trying not to cry, but, you know, I'll do my best.
Yeah, there you go, you know?
She can hang.
Yeah?
I think she can hang.
Yeah. Karina can hang. Karina, you're from Israel.
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
Almost 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Have you lived any place else other than Israel in here?
Nope.
Closer to the mic.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go, because we want to hear you.
Stupid.
No, so you've only lived in you lived in Israel
and
the United States. What made you decide to come here out of all the places in the world?
Well, it's supposed to be just a trip. And then we just fall in love with this place. And
really?
Wow. And
so did you travel a few other places in the U.S. or just L.A.?
Yeah, we just in the United States.
Right.
And we just decided to stay in California. It's a sunny place.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing.
It was Disneyland that sold you, wasn't it?
Holy crap, how did you know?
Yeah, right.
Because.
It's okay, you can say anything you want.
Yeah, we all love Disneyland.
Yeah. No, she said crap and she was worried, right?
Yeah.
No, we can say shit,
yeah.
We can say fuck here, we can say anything we want because the show is not for kids.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, there
right.
You go.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, no,
so, although Karina is going to be my co-host on the new station we're launching, I don't know much about you. We haven't had a chance to really talk. I don't want to reveal too much about you.
I thought it was special.
Yeah, right.
And you don't know nothing about
it. It's taken him a long time to even figure me out, too.
Right. Well, I don't research people to death like some people do, you know?
You like to be surprised?
Well, not only that, but I also, I feel kind of nosy if I start researching people too much,
feel
you know?
Free.
But if they put it on the internet, they put
exactly.
it out there for you to read.
Exactly. But sometimes you see things you don't want to see.
Right. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
This happened to me.
Right?
A couple articles came up, and I'm like, why is this associated with this woman, you know?
And now the details are falling into place.
Right.
Yeah.
So you never know what's going on.
No.
You know? But you know, what's interesting, I think, is when you see people, and they all seem, you know, everybody seems more or less the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about what they're doing behind closed doors in their bedroom, right? And you're going, my God, you know, I could be standing next to the kinkiest, weirdest person ever and not even know it, right, Kay?
That's true.
You've seen that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Me.
Yeah, you.
You're sitting in the same room, right? With someone who just filmed an epic pornographic movie over the weekend.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Now, let people know she's not a performer. She doesn't actually have sex on camera, but you're behind the camera or you have non-sex roles.
Right. I have sex behind the camera.
Right.
Not in front of the camera.
Not in front of the camera. Okay.
But I am on my... Like, the
I should hope that you do. Yeah. I mean,
I
you know.
Everybody
some people
should.
Don't. Yeah, yeah, I know. Go ahead. I know. I could use more myself. But go on. So you're behind the camera.
I'm a director, a
right.
writer director, and the medium for the past 7 years has been pornography.
Wow, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So now, do you make movies that have stories in them, or is it just pretty much one scene after another?
Every movie I've ever made, and I've made over 50 now, has been story driven.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Karina, what about you? Do you enjoy porn occasionally in your life? I mean, do you find it to be an important part of, you're married, right? So is it an important part of a marriage, do you think?
Well, how can I say that? I delivered a son about almost 3 months ago, so I don't have much time for porn right now,
right.
You know?
Whoa.
But the only porn I see is just I wake up at 5 a.m., you know, making his food, and that's it's the kinkiest thing in the morning. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, you should find the time because, you know, I'm learning in the evenings and you know, I have busy.
Yeah. So it's hard to find time for that. I know,
yeah,
I know. As opposed to a man who always finds time for porn, you know, and before you had the baby,
did you enjoy X-rated content?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
With a partner, or do you enjoy it by yourself? Is it something that you just go, wow, this is pretty cool, I'll watch it? Or do you have to have your husband or partner with you watching
it? I think the partner is most interesting.
Right.
No, not alone. But right. But there is time.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a place for it, right, Kay?
Yeah, I think
I
enjoy.
We're all humans.
Yeah, exactly.
I enjoy watching it alone more than I do with my husband.
Really? Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. I
because
think that's a woman thing.
Because it makes me feel more comfortable, you know?
Right.
Because I'm fucking dirty.
Yeah? Okay. So what? So you can't do it alone? Who cares how
dirty
you are?
No, I really like watching gangbangs.
Oh, okay.
More than anything else. I really like it. Visually, it's intense.
And plus, you can actually do what you...
Right.
You can do what you're watching on screen when you're with someone.
And I think he feels a little overwhelmed by the gangbangs I like. It's just, like, too much. You know?
Whoa.
And then he has to wonder about me, like, why is it that she likes
all I'll tell you why. Because for the same reason, I think that I would like a reverse gangbang.
Right.
Because you want to be with as many people as possible, no? Just to experience different cocks,
it's
different
the overload
this, different
of stimulation.
Yeah.
Because when you direct as a director of porn, I'm kind of not necessarily desensitized, but I sit so closely to the performers while they're having sex, and I'm dictating. Yeah, and I'm dictating their motions, their moves, their positions, and all that. And I really do find that gangbangs are more freeform. It'd be much harder to be a director of a gangbang. In fact, the directors I know who have directed gangbangs say it was the worst experience they've ever had because it's just like it's just a clusterfuck. It really is.
Happens sometimes that it's like get out of control, like. Like it's happened sometimes.
My director of photography is Mike Quasar. Mike Quasar a million years ago did a gangbang called the Houston 500.
Oh my God!
That's when
I remember Houston. Yeah, it was on Howard Stern. That's why I knew about it.
Yeah.
Houston was the name of a porn star, right? And she
was
did
really
500
popular
people?
In the '80s and the '90s.
Houston, it's a she.
It's a she. Yeah, it's a
she
porn star.
She did a gangbang with 500.
500 guys.
Rest in peace, her.
Yeah,
like
her vagina.
Vagina, yeah.
Yeah, so. There you go. Right. That's why maybe she's not in the business anymore. Who knows?
Yeah.
But she was a MILF anyway. She started late, right?
I don't know the facts on that, but I do remember seeing her just on Howard Stern, I think, a couple of times,
right.
And she seemed like she was probably in her late 20s, early 30s. But the thing is about porn, there is a shelf life. There's
right.
very few performers that take it all the way into their senior years, like Nina Hartley.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And then many of them, the older ones, just got into porn. Not when they were young, but later on in life, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of known that if a performer goes 2 years in the industry, that's a good run.
Yeah, wow.
That's a good run.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You see, that's the thing. I mean, because I'm thinking to myself sometimes, every time I meet people in porn, they're new, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like the ones you knew a few years ago are not still around, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, but Karina will learn all the stuff about porn. Because, you know, the Valley is known as the porn capital of the world, really. Mm-hmm. Right here.
Well, that's
Valley.
Just because the production companies, most of them are here.
Right.
A lot of them have now moved to Vegas.
Well, I thought, I knew it's somewhere in LA. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's right
here. In the San Fernando
Under
Valley.
My nose.
Yeah, like Van Nuys, Chatsworth, all these.
Canoga Park.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And all these places. So something you never know. The house next door to you, they could be shooting porn.
Right.
Yeah. And they usually like nice houses and stuff, right?
How do
you guys... I know that there's like people that rent out their houses for
many.
Movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how you find them.
And there are many that rent out their homes to adult film.
Right.
But they all have stipulations.
Right.
You know, like, and it's tough sometimes because you find a great home and the homeowner is crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
how crazy?
Well... This is like a show in itself. What we should do is just a show on this stuff. But it's truly, I've met some that don't want to leave the premises, so they hang around. And they make noise while you're filming. Like, they're rustling around. They're in their kitchen. They're on the phone in the background. And the whole time you're like, shut the fuck up. We're trying to film.
Oh,
like, what? And then it becomes this weird thing. Like, why am I yelling at the homeowner? You know, like, it should be my crew that
because
I'm yelling
you're paying
at.
To him.
Yes.
Like, so get the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know?
But I don't think they would be that disrespectful to a mainstream studio. And then there's the ones now. There seems to be, like, my production manager. When I was here last week, you know, I met him across the street. And we were going over some paperwork from the shoot I had last weekend or 2 weekends ago. And the homeowner, we filmed at 2 different locations. One was a house that I was able to make into 2 separate homes. So sometimes they have these homes that they rent out, and that's how they make their money. Because they make a lot of money. I mean, my budget, you know, it was like $1,500 a day. But if you go past $1,500, so, you know, and then if you go past 12 hours, this guy wanted $180 an hour for every hour past 12 hours. You usually
Golden
film
clock.
Past 12 hours if you're doing a feature with a lot of dialogue and script and story and the whole thing.
Wow.
So, and 2 sex scenes a day. No, the first day I had only 1 sex scene, but...
How long is the one scene?
It just depends. I mean, I'm known for really long scenes, and I'll show you some of my trailers later, but so I've been known for filming sex scenes that go on an hour long.
Wow. Really?
But they're usually at least 20 minutes.
Right.
But they go, and that includes foreplay, because I'm known for a lot of foreplay. A lot of kissing,
so that
touching,
would still
hugging.
Be 20 minutes, let's say 30 at most, from beginning to end.
Edited. So
right.
So we're filming for a lot longer. So sometimes I've been filming sex scenes for 2 hours, and that 2 hours includes the fact that my photographer, my stills photographer on set, goes in and takes the stills of the sex. Not that those pictures are not usually taken during the act of. So the performers, actually, the guys have to get hard, and they have to actually act out the sex and ask me about some of the positions that the performers are going to be in. And he takes the stills. Then they get dressed and they relax. They have some water, and then I come in with my camera crew and we film it.
Wow.
And so they have to repeat the whole thing, and the guys have to get hard again, and it's
right. So now let me ask you this. So how do you get hard on command, on and off like this? I mean, I
not
used to hear of the fluffers, right?
Yeah.
Do they still have that?
I think might, but I don't. I've never had one like that. But usually it's the
female. You know,
female
Karina, do you know what a fluffer is? It's a girl that they prepare the guy for the scene, so they get him hard off camera.
It's like
with
a
blowjob or something.
Yeah,
right?
Basically,
girl.
Only you have a dick in your mouth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So they get him hard, and then he does the scene. So you say not a lot of guys can do that, but so obviously the ones that can, those are the ones that get hired.
Those are the ones that work the most, and that's how they develop a name for themselves in the business, because they're known as being reliable. You can count on them. You know, like, there's one guy, Damon Dice, that I know, and there's a couple of guys like this in the industry, that I know for sure if I hire him for 2 scenes in a day, he can do it. Not every performer, not every male performer can do 2 scenes in one day. Not every female performer can do 2 scenes in one day. It takes a certain amount of stamina.
Right. And people have to understand, it's not like having straight sex at home.
No.
This is filming a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to do things over and over.
Over and over. Plus,
you should act more, like, not be on the star shape.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, the movies I make for Adam and Eve sells a lot of of softcore content from their movies. They have a whole distributorship of just the softcore version of their XXX movie. So we have to film the sex scene soft. And that goes on for about another 20 minutes after the hardcore has been filmed. So in the soft version, we don't show insertion.
Right.
We keep the dicks hidden.
Exactly.
You know, and you find you can show breasts.
So then he doesn't have to give... He doesn't have to get hard for the softcore.
But you still have to go through the motions and make it look real.
Right, exactly.
It's still cardio. That sucks, yeah. You have to be, you have to be strong. You have to be, have that stamina and be able to go through it or else it's completely screwed up.
I have
to
ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you get horny when you watched that?
I used to. I mean...
But now it's like, meh, like, yeah, or...
See, the thing is that when I'm watching my own movies, I'm watching them in phases with my editor. And because the last three movies I've made have been so long, one was 4 hours, one was 4.5 hours, one was 5 hours. My most recent movie that's out today is 5 hours long.
Whoa.
With 10 sex scenes. So I'm watching from a critical eye, and I'm like critiquing things in detail in my head, like, oh, damn, I wish I'd put them in this position, or I wish that they had done this, or I wish we could have done that. You know, like I'm thinking about how all the ways I could have made it better. So there's sometimes when scenes are so incredibly hot that there's no way that you can get turned on, even as the creator of it, the instigator of it, the director of it. But for the most part, no. I'd say I get more turned on by the books I write and while I'm writing them.
Because you imagine that in your own way.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you're writing erotic fiction, when you're writing erotica, you have to be able to pace out the way you write a sex scene so that there's a build and there's a descent, you know, and but it's timed right.
Yeah.
And I do that with my own feelings. So am I feeling this at the moment? Could I go with this if I was reading it? And then you go from there.
Right. Guys, we do have a guest calling in. I totally forgot to introduce this. I totally like I'm, you know, totally like in another planet this morning, you know. So I know, which is not exactly what we are going to talk about with our guest. We're going to be joined by Gigi Stetler. Gigi, are you with us this morning?
I am.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you for calling in. And we have a total party in the studio today, so you called at a good time. And where are you calling us from this morning?
I am in sunny Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, wow. Fort Lauderdale. Have you ever been, Kay?
Yes.
Yeah, you have. Well, I've never been, but I heard it's pretty cool. Is that where you lived all your life, Gigi?
I actually lived in L.A. for a while.
Oh, wow.
I really miss it. I wish I was there live in your studio.
Yeah, I know. So what made you move? I mean, obviously, Fort Lauderdale is not a bad place to be, but why would somebody leave L.A. and move to the East Coast?
Well, I was actually born and raised in Miami Beach, and I went out actually for a vacation when I was really young. I don't know, I was probably 19, 20. And I went out for a vacation and fell in love and stayed there for, I don't know, almost 5 years. About four years, maybe. And had a blast. I lived in Sherman Oaks, so I was a Valley girl.
Oh, wow. And then we're right here.
I was, too.
Yeah, we're in Sherman Oaks. Right, yeah. So maybe you will make a trip sometime and you can come and sit in the studio with us. But I wanted to introduce you so you know who you're talking to. I'm joined by Kay Brandt, and also Karina is sitting with us, our guest today. So you know you're speaking to one male, two females. And so let's get started. Gigi, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. Introduce yourself to us.
Well, I'm a little bit of everything. I say jack of all trades, master of none. I'm a single mom, 10th grade dropout. And successfully built a $20 million empire in a male dominant good old boys industry.
Wow.
God damn.
And
yeah.
I need to do that.
Let's be
friends. But it didn't last forever. So, I always say that it's easy. Well, it's not easy, but it's easier to get on top than it is to stay on top. So, as soon as you're on top, then you have all the sharks nipping at your ankles.
Oh, I know that
ankles.
Feeling. I know that.
And
yeah.
My big competitors that were a conglomerate, actually, kind of like the Walmart of the camping business. They seek their sights on my territory, and I said no to a sale, and they sabotaged me anyway. So,
wow,
so
yeah.
I was crumbling, crashing back down
to
6 feet under. So.
Yeah. So now, for a woman, obviously, there are more obstacles to success, but you've overcome them anyway. You know, I wanted to agree with you as far as staying on top. I mean, I never made that kind of money in my life. I don't know that I ever will. But what I am saying is, you got to like... For example, with me, I can start a business any day. I can start one every day. But to keep it going,
right,
that's hard, you know. So I think that's what you're describing, Gigi, in being able to stay there once you accomplish what it is you wanted to do.
Well, that's the thing, is that, I mean, nobody wants you if you're not worth anything, and nobody wants you if you don't have anything, you know, that they want. So, so the more... You know, I kind of stayed in my own little world when I was growing my company, and I was buying out smaller stores and things, and nobody bothered me. I had, you know, I was kind of a lone wolf down here in South Florida, and then I had this vision to build this huge facility in 2008, and I was on top of the world and built this 74,000 square foot indoor showroom, which would have been the largest retail center in the country. And then all of a sudden people are like, what? Who is she? Where'd this come from? And nobody wanted it to happen. So
what's your business, the retail business that you're involved in?
Recreational vehicles. I'm a dealership.
Wow. So like RVs?
Yeah. So it's like being in the car business, but actually 10 times harder. So
are you selling RVs?
Yeah. RVs is what it sounds like.
RVs,
right?
or Sea-Doos? Okay.
Wow, I would love that. I mean, you want to talk about that lifestyle of living with an RV. I mean, this is one of the things I aspire for, is to get to a point where I can actually just travel, like, just live in an RV, you know, right? And you guys, Gigi, probably carry some of those really luxurious big ones, right?
Like a bus. I was just like watching this on Sunday night. Oh, there was a show.
I have every price range. You know, people always just think, oh, I got to wait till retired. That's actually not my market. I don't sell to very many retirees.
Right.
I sell to baby boomers. I sell to, you know, young families.
Right.
It's a lifestyle now.
It is
a
lifestyle.
It's a good getaway weekend, 3-4 days. We have a membership program. We have all sorts of things. We do rentals. So, you know, if you imagine going on vacation and having to buy 6 plane tickets and carry a whole family along with you and packing and this and that, where you can rent an RV and go even 300 miles and think you're out of in another country because the campgrounds are so beautiful. So it's just a whole new experience. And my rentals are from 150 a day to 600 a day, and they sleep, you know, 4, 6, 8 people. So it's just...
Oh, wow. How cool is that? I was just researching RVs on this side of the country, of course. But because, you know, my brother has one. They've been going a lot. And, I mean, you can't compare a vacation with an RV, you know? I mean, you get to
like
be like...
a road trip.
Yeah, you know? And some people are like, you can pull up to the water and camp right there, you know? I mean, how else
can
you do that, right?
Amazing. It's amazing. Your home is where you're plugged into.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So that's cool. I wouldn't even ask you why you got into it, because it's clear. But how did you get into it, Gigi?
Well, I got into the business. It was an accident. I was in the hotel business, actually. And I was working for a friend of mine, helping him get his hotel sold on South Beach, and right in the heart of the Art Deco district back then in South Beach. And well, when we sold the last property, I kind of sold myself out of a job. So a friend of my mother's had bought this piece of property in Hollywood, Florida, and it had a bunch of RVs on it. It was an RV. It was a dealership, and it had some RVs on it. So he had bought the land, not really the business, but the inventory was there. So he said, okay, get rid of those things on wheels. Get rid of them, and we can develop the property. And it was like 10 or 12 units on the property. So I ended up selling them, fixing them, taking trade-ins, ordering new ones, and the next thing I know, we're in the business. I'm in the RV business. That's kind of how it started. That was 30 years ago.
Wow. We're talking to Gigi Stettler. You guys can go to the website. Spell the name for us so people can easily find the website, or just Google it.
RV Sales of Broward, B-R-O-W-A-R-D.
Okay, cool. And also, you have a website, too, because I'm seeing all the information on ggstettler.com.
DigiStetler.com.
Right. So you guys will see a lot of the stuff, Unstoppable Life, and also your book and stuff. Let's discuss that a little bit. Your book is Surviving is Just a... Or no, that's the subtitle, right?
Unstoppable,
right. So tell us a little bit about that. So you described your life overcoming the difficulties in a man's world. How did this come about?
It started earlier than that, like my family life. I always kind of considered myself as born out of failure, a success born out of failure. My parents got divorced when we were young. My father was a millionaire, and my mother left him when we were like 2 and 3, my brother and I, and she went on a long battle of fighting him for child support, and he didn't want anything to do with me, so he was pretty much disowned me. And so for years I couldn't understand why he wanted nothing to do with me. And he loved my brother. He always sent my brother cards and birthday cards and gifts and never anything for me. So he lived a very luxurious lifestyle, and we lived in a small house because my mother left him. So,
well, good for her for leaving.
But I could never understand what, like, you know, when you're young and you really don't, you only hear one side of the story, you don't really know what the story is. So when I got my first job at 11, and I was hustling my way to, because my mother always said, if you want to designer jeans, go get a job. You want a horse, go get a job. And I, because that was my passion, was horses, since I was 5.
And you got a job.
So I when I was 16, I got my driver's license, and I bought my first car because I had saved up, you know, whatever money I had earned. And I decided to drive down to my father's restaurant and meet him face to face and see, like, I think I spent my whole early years just trying to be accepted by him. I showed up, and there he was with friends at the restaurant, and he actually... We stared at each other for a minute like stray cats on the street, you know, and then we just met and we started talking, and then he started introducing me to his friends and my daughter, and all of a sudden, like, he was proud of me. It was just the most amazing day of my life. He was proud of me, and I'm actually going to have a relationship with my father because I couldn't understand what happened.
Yeah.
And everything was just, it was going to be great, and I was just so excited. I went home like on top of the moon, and we had plans to meet for lunch the next day. So my mother woke us, my brother and I, up at 3 o'clock in the morning at night, and my father passed away of a heart attack.
Wow.
So I never got to meet him the next day.
Wow. Interesting how life
works
out.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have that in the book? Is that all described there?
That's all in the book.
That sounds fascinating to me. I mean, what a story, you know. The book is Unstoppable. We're talking to Gigi Stetler. What's Unstoppable Life? Life and business coaching. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I wrote my book. I put all my dirty laundry out there to inspire others. That if you think you've had a bad day after you read my book, you'll never say that again. And basically to march forward and put a smile on your face, you know, as many times as you fail and fall. It's not about that. It's about how quickly you get up, dust off, and go again. So I started a coaching program because I was lost. And as a young girl, I was lost. I've had everything has happened to me. I was stabbed 21 times and left for dead. I was raped. I was cheated. So many things. I wasn't falsely imprisoned. I can go on and on. It's all in the book, but I just,
jeez,
you know, I
tell me more. Some drama,
yeah,
right,
she's
there.
Got a story. You don't write a book if you don't have drama.
It's got to write a book because I don't think we have enough time on the radio. So,
we'll don't give everything away.
We'll just tease it. Yeah, there you
give
go.
Give us a taste of it.
Well, Gigi, that's
so
awesome.
You know, coach to me I love to coach. I like to take throwaway kids, throwaway girls, because I was a throwaway kid, and I give girls legs, and that's what my coaching sessions are about.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome. That's cool, awesome. Good. If you guys want to find out more, tell us how people can find you, how people can get a hold of you.
GigiStetler.com.
Okay.
You can find me, Gigi Stetler, on Facebook or GigiStetler.com. Pretty much you can stalk me from there.
Sounds good. And so now, do you have so you obviously have that RV lifestyle. Do you have a big family?
It's just my son and I, and my mother lives with me. My mother's 90, and she's living with me now, and it's my son.
How cool.
And my mother, and my brother. My brother works for me, and we're a very small family. We all
have
our
business.
So as far as siblings, is that just the one sibling you have is your brother?
Yep.
I see.
Yes, just my brother.
So, and what was his growing up like? Was it different, or did he experience similar things?
My brother is actually just like my mother. They're very, very similar. My mother grew up a very bitter, very bitter life, and always been very bitter, and I could never really understand why. But when people read my book, and when I wrote the book, when people were reading it, and they know my mother, and they see me with my mother, and I didn't write it for anyone to ever judge her. So if I can forgive her, everyone needs to forgive her, and because you have to forgive to forget. She's not going to win the Mother of the Year award, but I wouldn't be the woman that I am today if she didn't do some of the things she did to me. So
really,
so my brother is just like her, and it's just so ironic that we're so opposite.
Yeah.
He worked for me, and we get along. It's just amazing, because my mother lives with me now, but she doesn't remember quite as much as she did before, but it's just amazing. I see my mother and my brother in my mother, and I can't on a daily basis. It's kind of crazy. And I'm so the opposite.
It's unfortunate. I hope that at some point in their life that they're able to find some type of peace.
Yeah,
and make
eventually
peace
you do,
They won't.
Yeah. So
no, don't forget
they
about
won't.
Yourself.
They,
I mean,
they won't. But like I said, I don't judge. But the thing is that it's very hard for you to find, peace when you don't think that you need it.
Yeah, I hear you. Now
you don't think you've done anything wrong. If you don't think there's anything wrong with you, then how are you ever going to fix it?
Right. Absolutely. Well, Gigi Stettler, fascinating story. I think everybody should check it out. Also, the RV part of this, amazing. So you do sales and rentals and all that stuff on your side of the country. Tell people again where they can find you as far as RVing. And what does it take? I mean, I often wondered, do you have to learn how to drive these things?
Because
some of them are
it's
big.
Like a bus.
Right? Yeah, right?
Yeah, you would pick out something that you're, comfortable driving. We have everything from a 20 foot all the way to a 45 foot. So,
I drive an SUV like it's a Hyundai, like it's a tiny car, my SUV. I'm afraid to get behind the wheel of an RV.
Yeah, I'm driving Chevy with the camera behind the car, and I'm still afraid.
I drive like a van, like a minivan.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they do.
My little 20 footers.
Wow.
So the best thing, you guys are being in California, if you ever come to South Florida, you just fly here. We're 5 minutes from the airport. We pick you up. We have a coach all ready for you. Go take a tour around South Florida, get back, drop it back off, and we'll take you back to the airport.
Wow, how cool is that?
Best way to see South Florida.
Wow.
Now
there's an idea for a trip right there.
All right.
Wow. Well, Gigi, thank you so road trip. Gigi, thank you so much for joining us this morning, for calling in, and much continued success to you. You're very inspiring.
Fascinating.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was cool. That is cool. I like inspiring people, and especially women. I know Tori would have loved her because Tori is a staunch feminist.
Yeah.
Right? So, but you are too, no?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You come across as a very strong, determined woman.
I think her story. Thank you.
Yeah, don't get in my way type of thing. Well, mow you down.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, right. I have other ways of acting too.
Yeah.
I'm not always just a lawnmower coming up.
No, but you have that fire,
Definitely. Yeah. But I think her story is
very
typical
inspiring.
Amongst women who rise to great achievements because they've just been through it. But not everybody could do that.
Yeah. So, Corina, you said that this sounded familiar to you. What did you mean by that?
Because
that
my relationship with my mom is destroyed.
Really?
Ash. Yeah.
Wow.
I just delivered my son, as I said, about almost 3 months ago. And she just saw him by the picture, and I showed her a video how they clean him up in the hospital.
Room?
Yeah, right. She's like, he's a very crying baby. Like, he's almost 2 days
What a
old.
Bitch.
Oh,
that's
wow.
a mommy dearest right there.
And I was like, you know, he just born like 14 hours ago. What are you talking about? He's right. supposed to be crying. What do you thought? He's supposed to be painting or singing?
Right,
like, what do you
right.
want him to do? Like,
wow.
Yeah.
So this is like being so judgmental, right?
She always was judging me. And somewhere I think my confidence was ruined because of it. But, you know, in Israel, I was a lonely soldier. I was living from 17 years old by myself.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you learn.
You've learned to be strong.
Yeah.
And independent.
Of course,
and
because you don't
things.
Have a choice. Because if yeah. you're going to be cry all day and say, oh, my God, I have such a horrible life and, you know, a horrible life, and you're not going to make it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. So you've overcome it too, huh?
Yes.
That's
so
awesome.
So I feel her. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, has your relationship with your mom ever been good? I mean, has it ever been... Did it just start now when you had your baby?
No. It's from 17 years old. Like now
really?
I'm 26.
Okay.
Almost.
Did you leave your home because she told you to, or because you elected to do that?
Well, both. Because she had, I have a sister. She's 18 years old, and I have a brother. He's 8 years old, and we're from a different fathers.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm going to now put my dirty laundry outside.
If you want
it's
to.
It's very hurtful to me to talk about this, but I will share the people to say, if you have worst day, like, just remember what I'm going to say now and continue with your lives. Because he had, he was drinking. He had drinking problems.
Who is he?
Her brother.
No, my mom's boyfriend.
Oh, your mom's boyfriend.
Yeah, he's the father of my brother.
Your brother, okay.
Yes, it was 8 years ago. He was trying to kill my grandma. He had hallucinate problems when he was drinking. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's pretty
schizophrenia,
common.
Schizophrenia, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember one time I was watching TV, and my mom just come back from work, and there was lots of dishes like in
the sink.
Yeah, I always wash after me, you know? I don't want to wash after him. Like, he's a pig.
Yeah, right.
So... my mom came back from work, and then he take his apron, start to wash dishes. Like, hey, you see, like, I'm doing stuff right now, and Karina doing shit. So I went to the kitchen to take something to drink, and then he take a plate and throw it to the floor. And like, Karina, what are you doing? Like, are you serious right now?
Wow.
And she believed him. Look, so I told, I cannot live in this house anymore. Like, you're gonna believe to him and not
right.
to your
He's
daughter,
crazy.
Your own daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I thought, fuck this shit. I don't need this
anymore. Right?
Like, I have now an amazing husband, and I have amazing son, and mother-in-law, and father-in-law, and his family. Oh, my God, I was blessed. Like, thank God.
So you don't have to be born into a good family. You can marry into one, too.
Everybody make their own luck, I believe, with God's little bit help.
A little help.
You need to be touched by an angel sometimes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But
I think we all have a gift. I mean, look.
Everybody have.
You know, if we have life, that's a gift. You know what I'm saying? I mean.
Completely.
You know what I'm saying? It's not for a long time. We get it. We get a gift that's like limited in time. We might as well enjoy it, you know, and learn to be the best people we can. Despite all the bullshit
Your
that our parents put us
Your past is who you
through.
Are right now. I mean, there is people sometimes who judge people because of their past, because of what they've been through, and this is wrong from my vision. Because
right.
what you've been through in your past is who you are right now. So,
right.
yeah. So
exactly.
Just make me stronger and be positive, because there is much
it's
worse
awesome.
Of things can happen to you, know? So
yeah.
Shit happens.
You know, somebody told me once, you know, he said, look, we're the result of what our parents did,
but we do make choices.
But
we're
we
void.
Can. But what we choose to become is up to us.
Every step of the way, we can
right?
make a choice.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, you need to be able to say, "I can rise above that." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
And survive. And you're showing that as well. So you were in the military. Where was your family? I mean, you said you were a lone soldier.
Yeah, I wasn't live with them. I was living with my grandma, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, the first year.
So even if your parents lived there, you can still be considered a lone soldier, right?
Yes, I was a lonely soldier. My mom...
But you weren't in the military.
She was.
I
was.
Oh, you were?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So almost 2 years.
Lonely, it, so means that it means that there's no family or nothing.
Yeah, so you're by yourself, so the army have to help you. Like,
okay.
Yeah, but they wasn't help me in the first year because my mom didn't let me to get my closet, my bed.
Got
everything
it.
Was over there while I was living in my grandma. She didn't let me to take that. So when they come, the social worker of the army, so they come and check if I'm living in a home to see if I'm not lying or something. So they see all my shit over there. So she's like, yeah, she's living over here. So I wasn't get any help.
Any help, because they thought you were like lying to them.
Yeah, and then after that, I was record her. Like I was telling her, I need to take my stuff. Why you didn't let me take my stuff? So she's like, because they don't want to. That's what gave me retro all the money.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you recorded what the hell she was saying.
Yeah.
And was that lying. Was her evidence. Wow. Yeah.
So in the States, that's illegal. You can't record somebody unless they know you're recording them, unless there's police on the line.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So it's not admissible to in court if it's not like, if there's
unless
no consent,
it's police,
right?
Unless the police have said to do it, it's police
Good to know.
Yeah. So don't go recording people.
I will
think
not
that you can
record anyone.
But see,
right
the thing
now.
Is now everybody's filming everything.
Yeah.
Everybody's filming everything. I mean, now I can't believe how much I film. Like, I walk around, I'm like, oh, why am I not filming myself walk up and down my stairs?
Yeah, exactly.
Why am I not filming myself making laundry today?
We document everything
for
crying out loud. Why are we doing this?
So that's the thing, because now all the footage we find on the news when shit goes down, you can't believe how many people were filming at that moment to capture everything. So the whole premise of privacy is gone
out the window.
Yeah, we were talking about this last week.
Like you said, that this generation, everything is documented from the moment they were born. Everything's on the internet about them, you know,
and without their permission,
right?
Without them knowing, they've been forced into a complete lack of privacy, and their entire lives are documented mostly on Facebook.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I know. I'm telling you, and all this stuff is really scary because we're almost there.
So let me ask you: do you think it's better to meet somebody, date somebody, and not have the internet like we did 20 years ago, and not be able to cross check or figure out where they're from or what their transgressions may have been? Do you think it's better to, back then when we didn't know, we had to actually go through the process of finding out?
It depends.
Or is
because
it
now you can Google if it's not a serial killer or something, you know.
Right.
But okay, well, so say it's somebody that had some shit go down in their past, and you immediately turn off to them because of it, instead of saying, well, let me get to know them first and see, because maybe that was...
Well, it depends what he did.
Well, it actually happened to me recently where an article came up, and I'm like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go, but I'm not going to judge this person based on that, because a lot of shit is fake on the internet anyway. You know, so you don't know. But the thing is, you have to, I don't know, you asking me which one was easier. Yeah, there's plus and minus to everything, right?
It really depends.
Yeah, it really depends. And,
I mean, if he's...
But it was great when you could actually, like, guess about them. But your selection, the pool from which you choose from, was a lot smaller at the time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now, you know, people meet me on Facebook without knowing me in person.
Right.
And they assume a lot with me. They feel like they can message me whenever they want.
Right.
I have had to block more people over the past couple months who abused the privilege of being on my messenger.
Posting a new
on
thing,
Facebook.
Right.
Not just posting, but constantly messaging me, constantly wanting questions. There's so many people, especially as an author and as a public figure in porn.
Right.
That they assume that means that the door is wide open for them to just walk in and take a place.
Right.
And ask me an enormous amount of information. Like, I have nothing better to do but to tell them. So what I started to do was go through all my old interviews that I started doing years ago and find the links. And I'll just go, you know, I'm really, really busy, but there's so much information on me out there. And I've done countless numbers of interviews for the past 7 years.
Good
start,
for you.
Start with,
there
hit
you
this
go.
Link if you really want to know about me, then read.
Exactly.
Read it. And because I'll tell you everything. You know, it's all there. All that
that's
you need
true.
To know
that's
anyway.
True. And so give links to all your appearances here as well.
I always do.
I think you've always been very candid, very, very honest.
I always do.
Yeah, I know. So that's really cool. And soon Karina is going to give out links too, because Karina is going to be my co-host. We're officially announcing
I mean, my legs are shaking right now.
Yeah. And the new Hebrew station that I'm launching for Israelis in LA and really the world.
That's
because
so cool.
We're going to be available on phones and internet and everything. So Karina, you're excited about it, huh? And it's going to be easier for you because it's the mother tongue, right? It's your first language.
I can speak in English, but it's better for me in Hebrew,
right.
You know, because I'm still not...
No, I mean, look,
you're
young.
Doing fantastic.
Yeah, I know, but the point is,
you need a little bit more proof.
Yeah, right. You will. You will.
Always
I mean,
place for better.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, look, my English was probably. You know, as good as yours when I came in at 16, but that gave me longer to learn the language. You only start it now, but that's the thing. Look, you'll learn it slowly, but at the new station, you'll get to speak your own language. You
Super
know,
cool.
And that's a lot cooler. You know,
feel home.
Yeah, exactly. Feel at home. We're gonna play music. We're gonna have interviews. We're gonna talk about our lives, the world, whatever. You know, anything. It'll be like this show. But in a different language.
I get it. I could be your guest, but you have to have a translator.
For
yeah.
For, like,
exactly.
Read my mind.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I know.
Because my books are available in Israel.
Really?
Well, Amazon.
So we'll promote them.
I have a global territory for my books. So
right. But are they...
Wow.
They're in English.
But in English, right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look, most Israelis are very good with English, right?
I mean, my books sell in Japan.
Wow. Very cool.
You know, I mean, they're in English.
Yeah.
So, but if you really
but
want something
like
dirty,
it.
they'll take
exactly.
it. They'll learn English dirty.
I used
to. Israeli women will love to some novel book.
Oh. Yeah, these books.
I'll take care about that.
Yes. Well,
yeah, get a few books sold. There you go.
And the movie I just made 2 weeks ago is based on a novel that's coming out this year that I wrote called Naked.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. And you know, all I can say to you is this, you know, knowing Kay a little bit now and everything, I think we can all conclude that you're probably a lot hotter than 50 Shades of Grey, which became famous. And it made it more mainstream to talk about it. But you're way beyond that, right?
Way beyond that. But I've also made a movie from a book that was equal in fame to 50 Shades called Babysitting the Baumgartners, which was written by
That's the one you just made, right?
I made the first one a year ago.
Okay.
And I made the sequel last November, and it's out today.
Oh, okay. Wait, really? Congratulations.
Well, it's been out on VOD for a while, but the DVD release is today.
Right. And people still buy DVDs, physical ones?
They do.
Really?
Especially these movies, because I make these like epic 5 hour long it's called Adventures with the Baumgartners, and it's got 10 sex scenes, and it's 5 hours of content.
Wow.
So 5 hours of story, a big cast, and written by Selena Kids based on her upcoming novel, which is the first time the Baumgartner franchise of erotic novels was a big deal. It put her on the New York Times bestseller list as an author.
Wow.
And at one point the book was selling more than Stephen King.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've said this before on the show, yeah.
No, and but I mean, know you have,
yeah,
but I have to pretend.
Know,
yeah, I have to pretend I don't. No, I have to pretend I remember. I have to pretend I remember.
Like a goldfish in ink.
There you go. I'm friggin' Dory, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
So.
Finding Sam, Finding Dory.
So her book is coming out this week, too. And because we wanted the book and the movie to come out together. And it's been years since she released a new Baumgartner book in the franchise. She's got many, many books in this franchise because the first one was so successful. Mm. So she kept writing them and writing them and writing them.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. But for the sequel, we wanted to do a brand new book. Instead of taking another one of her already published and loved books, we wanted to do a brand new one, just try something different. So this is the first time anything like this has ever been done in adult film.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. With 10 sex scenes... doesn't it get repetitive or you have to read negative, right?
Well, the Babysitting the Baumgartners, the first one had 16 sex scenes in it. And that one it got repetitive, but I was following the book word for word, scene by scene.
Right.
So there was a build in the repetitiveness of it. It wasn't just same people, same thing. There was a different energy, a different feeling to each scene because they're trying to seduce their babysitter and they know that she's watching them.
Oh, wow.
So they're acting out a little bit. To create it so that they know that if they can seduce her to be part of their polyamorous situation and become a three-way with them, that she knows that they like her, they're talking about her in bed, there's a progression.
Right.
The first half of the movie does feel a little repetitive, but in a good way, because it's taking you through a story. It's building the passion and the erotic.
Wow. You know, that's awesome to me, because all I can tell you is this. When I grew up, like, porn in the 70s, it all had stories. You know, John Holmes and Sika and,
yes,
and all these, they had stories, and you had to watch it, you know, to see the sex and everything.
And they had big budgets, too, that rivaled.
Yeah, because we'd go, like, in movie theaters and stuff, you know, they would show
Pussycat stuff. Pussycat theaters.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I'm talking about in Israel, you know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That was even weirder, but at any rate.
I can't imagine.
But it was very cool.
Yeah.
And I grew up with that. But now I noticed that I don't really get into stories. I like situations,
right,
though, you know. But I want to try that, because, you know, that's a thing. I mean, you're talking to me about something that I haven't experienced in many years, and that is to watch a porn movie that actually has a story to it.
Right, and along, like I tell
like
people...
Like Taboo, you know, right. I used to watch...
Oh, yeah, now these are not just don't have stories, they're based on best-selling novels.
Right, right.
So, and I've made four of these type of movies for Adam and Eve now, including my own books made into movies.
Wow. Yeah. Guys, we're totally out of time. Karina, tell people how they can find you if you want to, like in social media or something. Do you want people to find you at all?
No, I'm a crazy person. I'm kidding.
No, really. You guys just stay tuned for...
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, and I will be glad if you follow me, and that's it.
Sounds good. Well, we'd love to have you, and I'm looking forward to working together. It's going to be awesome.
Me too. Oh my God,
we're
going
to
so
be
excited.
Right here at this studio early in the morning, folks, from 8
honor.
To 10. And if you know somebody who speaks Hebrew and wants to enjoy similarly entertaining radio, folks, send them our way, and I'll have it all posted everywhere. Kay, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
All the best
anytime.
To you. And you're welcome back anytime, of course. Also, we're totally over time, but I had to stick this in because this is my idol since I remember myself. Sir Roger Moore died today. So,
wow.
But he was 89. And
had
you know
a good
what?
Life.
He did, but he already looked very old for many years. And I thought, how long before he actually goes,
right.
You know? But they got some of the pictures here, and I'm reminded how handsome he was and how charismatic he was.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm talking before James Bond. I mean, I was exposed to him from The Saint and then The Persuaders, which were both British series.
Oh, he was always
TV.
Gorgeous.
Always.
Yeah,
always.
Gorgeous.
And then eventually from The Saint, he evolved to James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, thank you all so much. Ladies, thanks again. You made the morning extremely pleasurable.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Gigi Settler, for calling in. Thanks, everybody, for listening, as always, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.